Thanks for joining us today at Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City values each person's unique experience with faith, and we hope that this word impacts you today.
Thanks, guys. Is everybody good? I always say this, and I do mean it. It's very intimidating to go up here with such good-looking people. So I'm going to pray so I'm not nervous of your good looks. Is that okay? Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that we can gather together in your name. Thank you that we're here, your presence is here, and I pray that you will speak through me and that that noise would not distract me more and that somebody will open the door. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever made like a really bad mistake that is super embarrassing? Like, for example, that. Or for example, like you're in the mall, right? And then you see somebody, like you see your friend that is across the hall, like down there. And then you're walking and you like see them and you start waving at them and then you're like, "Hey, bro, how are you?" And as you're walking closer and closer and closer, you realize it's not your friend and it's a complete stranger. Has anybody done that? Oh, I'm the only loser. Okay, I'm not. Okay. So, and you do the classic, you go and wave and then you do the hair like combing, like it's all good. Or has anybody like fart or burp in your first date? Has anybody done that? No? Okay. Just Dylan over here. Or for example, this is my sister did this like on her first date. My brother-in-law, now brother-in-law, so this kind of story works. He was waiting at the bottom of the stairs and my sister was coming down and she literally tripped down the stairs and she landed on her knees in front of my brother-in-law and it was super embarrassing. I remember my dad was there and it was like, what do we do now? And it was super embarrassing. Anyway, there was this one time, I'm going to tell you my bad story. Is that okay? I have 33 minutes. Okay. It's going to be fast. It's going to be faster than 33 minutes. But like a long time ago, I was in college, and when you go to college, and especially when you leave your country, the thing that you miss the most is not your family, to be honest. It's not your friends. You do miss your friends, maybe sometimes even more than your family. But what you miss the most is the food, right? Especially if you're Mexican. I mean, you miss food. It's what you miss. So I remember I was in college this one day, and we were at the end of the class, and we were talking, and we were making plans. So my friends were saying like, "Hey, how about you come and you cook some tacos?" Because everybody thinks that because you're Mexican, you know how to make tacos, which is true. And then I remember that we like kind of said like, okay, you get the tortillas, you get the sauce, and you get the meat, and everybody kind of split it evenly. And I remember like going to the place of my friends, and it was just a couple of blocks away from the school. And I remember getting everything ready, getting the salsa, you know, the tomatoes, you cut them, and then you put them on the pan so they toast, and then you put the onion, and you put them in the pan as well to toast, and then you put the garlic, and then you put the pepper, obviously something that is really spicy, and I'm really hungry right now. But then you start making the sauce. We were start making the sauce, and then we put the meat, and then we put the tortillas. We started like heating them up, and everything was so good. Like it smelled really Mexican, even though like tortillas were completely crap. But it looked very Mexican, at least in my eyes. And we were start eating, and it was delicious, and it was one of those great experiences. And that was it. I remember. It was time to go. It was very late, and I was a college student, so I did not have any money to pay for a taxi or a car. So I remember I was like, okay, just probably going to walk home. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to go now. Waiting for somebody to say, like, do you need a ride? And I remember just like, I'm going to go now. And everybody was quiet, so I was like, all right, I'm going to grab my backpack. And I remember like something felt wrong. Like, you know when you have this feeling that something's wrong? And your tummy is just really, really sick. Like, you know that feeling when you need to go to the bathroom, but you're like, oh, I can wait. I can wait a little bit. And I remember, like, making one of the biggest mistakes of my life in that moment. Instead of going to the bathroom at that moment, I step outside of the house and I start walking. And my house was really far away. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make it. It's fine. I'm going to make it. And I remember, like, walking It was like 10 kilometers, which is a long, it's a lot. And I remember walking, it was in the middle of the night, and my stomach started hurting me. It was that salsa, it was too hot. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I remember like from walking like super fast because I wanted to get like home quick. I started walking slow because I didn't want something to just go out. And I remember started walking like this, and I was just literally, I'm not gonna, like I was praying, Jesus, please let somebody drive by that knows me and so I can catch a ride. And I remember that happened. That did not happen. So I kept walking, and I remember like going to finally arriving to my house, and I was so scared. I was gonna like, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be known like the Mexican that pooped his pants. Like it's gonna be horrible. I'm never gonna get married. It's gonna be a disaster. And I remember walking into the house, and I was running, literally like putting my backpack away, like on buckling my, you know, like just doing the thing. And I remember like my housemate was from Spain, and he came out and he was like, Luisito, ¿qué pasa? With a lisp, you know how they talk. And I was like, Josh, yeah, all good. And I was just running, and guess what happened? Nothing happened, but literally nothing happened. I made it safely, but like this story has like stained my life. I mean, no, not stained my life. It has stayed in my memory for a long time. But it's like one mistake after the other, right? Like you think that, okay, this mistake is fine. I'm going to be fine the next time. And then you keep walking, and then you keep making mistakes thinking that it's going to be all right. And some things are funny, right? Some mistakes are funny. You go into the office the next Monday, and you tell everybody, oh, this super funny thing. I was like cleaning the car, and I fell in the ice, and I broke my arm. It was so funny. Or I don't know, you go and, you know, that's not funny. But you know what I mean? Like, there's funny stories. But there's some mistakes that are not that funny, right? Thanks. There are things that are, like, they're not funny. And, like, the Bible talks about these mistakes that are called sin. They're called this thing that somehow separate us from something or someone. And before going into talking about sin, which is could possibly be a little bit awkward, I want to talk about purpose. Because the whole thing about the Bible and about making mistakes for us is that sometimes we make mistakes that take us away from the purpose that God has for us. And somehow this is a very popular word, purpose, right? Like everybody wants to have purpose. Everybody's chasing their purpose through relationships, through a bunch of different things, right? But I heard this once from Joel Abell. He a pastor in Australia. He said, like, purpose, it's both general and it's also specific. What does that mean? That it means that every one of us has a specific purpose in God's kingdom. That means that only you can do what only you can do, and nobody else is going to be able to do what only you can do. But at the same time, there's another kind of purpose, which is general. Which means that every one of us is a part of that purpose. And that purpose is building his kingdom in whatever way that looks. Maybe that looks you working in the army, or that looks you being a student at this time, or maybe that's like being a stay-home mom or a stay-home dad. Or maybe like whatever it is, like each one of us have a general purpose, which is expanding God's kingdom, right? Are you there? Are you there, or are you sleeping already? Okay. Now, this is the general purpose. Now, this is the problem. The problem is this one little word called sin. Now, what's sin? That's a very good question, and thanks for asking. Sin basically is a decision that we make. Sin is deciding to trust us instead of trusting God. Sin is choosing our own wisdom instead of choosing God's wisdom. Sin is basically saying, okay, I decide that I am going to define good, and I'm not going to say it's good. Does that make sense? And so it all started, and I've already talked about it before, but it all started in the Garden of Eden, right? And we see how sin has this propensity to grow and to do certain things. The Bible says that sin leads to death. But how does that happen? Well, we can see a little bit in the story. It says that Eve was tempted by the serpent, and then there was this snake, and then sin was introduced to the world, and then after sin was introduced to the world, like, sort of the purpose collapsed a little bit. Like, things didn't go the way that it was supposed to go. But then after that, we see how they go away, and then God was walking. It says the Bible in Genesis that he was walking around in the garden, and then they were ashamed because they were naked. So not only you first sin, and it's like the first that you are introduced to sin is a decision that you made, but then you're ashamed about it. You're, like, trying to cover it. trying to say, no, everything's going to be fine. It's like me going out of the door and saying, no, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to the house. And you're kind of ashamed. And then after that, we see in the story that God goes to Adam, and he says, like, what happened? Like, why, how do you know that you're naked? And then the first thing that he does, and some of you know the story, is that he says, like, the woman that you gave me. And so the third thing that happens is, first, sin is introduced, you make a decision. Then after that, you're ashamed of the decision that you made. And then after that is that you start pointing blame, right? You start, giving away responsibility to something else. And that's blame. But then after in the story, and this is just really, really short, and then we're going to go to the main point, is that they're kicked out of the garden, and then they have kids, right? And then we know the story about Cain and Abel. Is that how you say Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel, we know the story. Abel get really good things to God, and God was pleased with his offerings, with the stuff, and Abel was start praising God with the things that he had, which was fruits, animals, produce, all this kind of stuff. But Cain didn't do that. So God did not like what Cain gave him. And so Cain started being envious or jealous of his brother, and that caused him being angry. So not only sin is introduced, we made a decision, and then after we are ashamed of the decision, not only that after goes into blame, but then it becomes anger. And then anger happens to grow into violence. And we see how Cain killed, what's his name? Abel, thank you, Abel. And then after that, we see in the story going forth, and then they build this Babylon city, which is the demonstration of evil and violence and everything that has to do with that. All that to say that our sin, it's like a baby that is inside a mother's womb, that it keeps growing and growing and growing until the point that it kills somebody. Sin separate, not a baby, not a baby not kills you, but like sin can, it grows into something bad and it kills you. It literally, it starts just with a simple decision of saying, I know better. And maybe that decision is, it can be so simple as like your taxes. Maybe I'm just going to put this more. Or maybe in your studies, in midterms, oh, maybe I'm just going to do this, I'm going to cut this corner. Or in your job, maybe I'm just going to put this on the resume, which is not really true, but I'm just going to put it to get the job. Or whatever it is that you want to do, but it's you choose not what is good in the sights of God. And then it grows and grows and grows. And then it becomes this massive city, which is Babylon in you. And then the sin that was personal now is public, right? And then this sin is so horrible that it starts affecting everybody around you. And we've seen, I heard a podcast this week, and I don't know if you saw this picture a couple of years ago of a Syrian escaping, and they were in a boat. This boat fell or like sank, and then there was a baby on the side of the shore, right? And how these horrible things happen because somebody made a decision that was private, that was personal, but then it grew and grew and grew and grew into something that was public, that is affecting everybody. So that's why sin is so horrible. That's why choosing what we want can affect the people around us, because it doesn't only affect us, but it actually affects three different directions. It affects vertically our relationship with God. It affects, somebody open the door, please. Somebody, and also affects horizontal to the people around us, but it also affects privately, right? It affects our life and our relationship. I know this sounds really awful and it's not very encouraging, but there's good news about it. And before I tell you the good news, I'm going to tell you a story about my daughter, Neva. She's 5 years old and she is a little grown-up. She's so cool. And I remember a couple years ago, we were sitting at the table in Mexico, and it was a Monday, so I had the day off, and I remember we were just chatting, we were doing some sort of crafts. It was the middle of the summer, so we were about to go outside and play in the water and have some fun. And I remember sitting on the table, and I was sitting right in front of my daughter Neva, and I remember how we were about to go, and she said, like, okay, can you pass me something? And I said, okay, just sit right there. I'm going to go and get the crayons or whatever it was. And I remember literally standing up, turning, and at the moment that I took the first step, I just heard a pah, like something fell. I turned around, and it was Neva on the floor holding her chin like this. Chin or shin? Chin. What's a shin? not that, the chin, okay? And so she was holding the chin, and I remember, like, I was just, like, so scared. My daughter just fell, and then she was crying. She was, like, being all, like, you know, like, just, wah. And I remember, like, she taking her hand off. It was full of blood. And I remember, like, my little daughter was, like, bleeding a lot. And the first thing I was put it on the couch, put some towels, kind of see how deep it was or how big the cut was. And it was really deep and it was really big. So we had to go to the hospital and she had to get stitches. And it's, like, a crazy cool story for her that she got stitches. And but it was very scary at the moment. And I remember telling her at the end of it, you know what? You're really brave. You went to the doctors. She cried a lot. But I was saying, you were really brave. You went through this and it was great. Like, and after that, getting home, I was like, well, now you know that you need to be careful when you sit on the chair. You need to sit properly and just be careful when you get off, because otherwise you can slip and you can fall and you can hurt yourself again, and we have to go to the hospital, and we don't want to, like, go to the hospital, right? And so this traumatic moment, this decision that she made that caused her to go to the hospital because she didn't listen to daddy, was transformed into a lesson. And this is the great news. This is the cool thing about the season that we're living, that there's a solution to our mistakes. There's a flipping to the tortilla. There's another side of the thing. Like, and I love Romans 8:28 because it's exactly what we need when we make our biggest mistake. And I think we're going to put it on the screen, but it's a verse that we all know. It's very popular, and it's basically telling us in Romans 8 verse 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Other versions say that everything that happens, God can turn it into good. And so this is the great news that we have, that God is so creative, is so powerful, is so sovereign, is like God, hello. So he can take absolutely any mistake that we make, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how what it is, and he can flip it and he can use it and he can he can sew it together to fit into his plan. So no matter what we do now that we're in Christ, no matter when we have a relationship with God, it's crazy cool that even though we make big mistakes in life, whatever it is, that God can still use us for his purpose. And so if you're going to forget everything I'm going to say, I want you to remember this one thing. And is that with God and in God, I forget now. So just give me a second. I'm trying to not use my notes for the first time. So, but this is what, like, the one thing that I need you not to forget, even though I forgot it, but you don't forget, okay? And is that with God, God can use your biggest mistakes and he can transform them. He can use them as a platform for your life. God can use your biggest mistake and transform it into your platform. And this reminds me of a story in the Bible. It's very well known. It's very popular. It's the story about David. And the King David was the king and the ruler of God's people, which was the people of God, Israel. And it's found in 2 Samuel if you want to look for it later. I'm not going to read it all because it's kind of long, but I'm just going to take a little bit of the story. I'm going to tell it to you. It's in chapter 11. But basically in this time, David did something right. This is before Jesus, obviously, but he did something right, that he had a purpose. He had a specific purpose. God had told him, you know what? You're going to build, he wanted to build a temple for God, a house for God. And he had a purpose. He wanted to do that. And then he did something, a great mistake. But at the end of the story, he still fulfilled his purpose through his generations. But because he did something right, and it's something that I want us to hear today. Is that okay? So chapter 11 is a story about David and Bathsheba. And David at this time was the king, like I said, and usually kings would just go and fight with the people, with their army, right? It's like, I don't know if you watch Netflix, but there's this one new series that's called The Ottomans or something like that, which is the story of how, like, some people conquer Istanbul or Constantinople and made it Istanbul. Anyway, the king would go and fight with the army. It was like the tradition. It was what you do. You go and fight with your army. But at this time, chapter 11, specifically in verse 1, it says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. They destroyed the Ammonites and beside, blah, blah, blah. But David remained in Jerusalem. So something was wrong already. something in his character was shifting. Something was not where he was supposed to, because he was supposed to go with the army, but he stayed at that moment. And then we see the classic story. He wakes up one day and he goes to the roof. I don't know why, but he went to the roof, and then he saw this beautiful woman called Bathsheba. This woman was getting a bath. She was showering, and he saw her naked, and he was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And he did the high school thing. He told a friend and said, like, "Hey, can you go and see who she is and give me some information about her instead of going straight to her?" Anyway, that's a tip for people here. Just go straight and ask her out. But then he went through his friend, and they brought her in. They brought Bathsheba into the temple, and they did the things that adult people do. And then she found out that she was pregnant. And because that was big. That was a big scene, because he was a king. She was married to somebody that was in war, that was called Uriah. Uriah? Is that how you say it? Uriah? Urias in Spanish. Urias. Let's call him Urias, because just to mix it up a little bit, okay? That's going to be a little bit of Spanish lessons for you. Urias. Urias was in war, and he was the husband of Bathsheba. So this was a big problem. This was really bad. So basically what David did is like, okay, I made the decision. It was a bad decision. Now, like, I'm kind of ashamed because she's pregnant and it can be my son or daughter. So I'm going to do something else, and I'm going to kind of shift the blame to somebody else. So what he did is call Urias to come to Jerusalem, and he got him drunk, basically. So he got him drunk so he could go with Bathsheba, so they could do the stuff that adult people do, you know. You know, and some people are getting all blush and stuff. They had sex. He wanted them to have sex, but he was a good man. Urias was a good man. So he was like, "No, you know what? I'm not gonna go, and I'm not gonna sleep with my wife, because my fellows, my friends are fighting for you, actually, and they're fighting. So how am I gonna do that? How can I possibly do that?" So he slept in the front of the gates. He didn't go. Then David got angry again. He was like, "What the heck? Like, why didn't he go to his wife, sleep in a comfortable bed and stuff?" And so what he did is that he sent a message to the commander Joab, and he said, like, "You know what? Take this guy and put him in the most ferocious part of the battle, in the worst part, in the part where everybody, like, it's super unsafe." So basically, he was sending him to kill, right? So not only his sin, it was a bad decision that then transformed into something else, but then it came all the way to violence, to murder. And then something crazy happens in the story. Then this guy, this mythical guy, a prophet called Nathan, comes. And then Nathan says, "What you did was wrong in the sights of the Lord. What you did was wrong, and we know why. It was a sin, because it transformed into all these different scenarios. Sin started growing in him." And then David realizes that what he did was wrong. And then in verse 13 of chapter 12 in 2 Samuel, says this: "Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.'" And then the story gets really weird. You can read at home. And then finally, the kid that was Bathsheba's and David's died. And then in the same chapter, in verse 20, it says, "Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went on to his house, and at the request, they served him food, and he ate." Now, David did something right here. I know we have Jesus now, and it is easy for us to be forgiven our sins, right? It is easy to come and say, like, "You know what, God, I am sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I did this." And you can come and you can do all these things. And your relationship, when you trust Jesus, it is completely new. Your relationship with God the Father is new. But sometimes our mistakes have consequences. And sometimes we need to learn what to do in the middle of our biggest mistake so we can, I don't know, get closer to our purpose. Because I don't know you, but I know I have a purpose, and I want to get to the purpose that God has for my life. And so I learned from David a few things that I want to talk to you about that we can do together so we can just get closer to the purpose that God has for us. Is that okay? So the first thing is in verse 13, and you're taking notes. You can write this down. The first thing is that he confessed his sin. Simple. I know this is something that we don't like to do. It's like, "What are you talking about? I'm not going to go and tell somebody about my sins." Because it's uncomfortable, right? And I think it goes from the very beginning. Like, what devil, I guess, tried to do is like tell you that you can be independent. That you don't have to be accountable to anybody. right? It's what he did. Like, he said, like, to Eve, you know what? You can be like God. And what's God? Well, he's independent. He doesn't have to give any accountability to anybody. So basically what happens is that we feel so uncomfortable when somebody comes in the front or somebody tells us, you know what? You need to actually take your crap that you're hiding in the back, and you have to tell somebody. Now, why is that important? Like, how does that help you? Well, that breaks a little bit of the cycle of sin that keeps growing and growing, because when you expose it, it has no power. It literally has no power because it's out of the open, and there's so many people that can help you. But also in James, James 5, it's somewhere here in the Bible. And this is Morgan when she was a baby. James 5, and in verse, is it there? 15 and 16, check this out. It says, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. Confess. Usually we read the chapter 15, and it's in another translation, it's very well known. It says, like, the prayer of the righteous has power, basically. And it's something that somebody preaches, and everybody's like, yeah, man. But usually we don't read verse 16, and it says, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate and heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. But it usually comes after we surrender our selfishness, we surrender our ego, and we're accountable to one and another. We're accountable to somebody else. There's so much power when we're accountable to somebody else. There's so much power when we're vulnerable enough to say, hey, I have this problem. I'm dealing with this. And I don't know what it is that you are dealing with. I don't know what kind of mistake it is. And it can be hard to say, like, hey, you know what? I have this porn addiction. Oh, you know what? I have this addiction to this drug, or maybe you're addicted to something else. So maybe you have said a lie that it was a white lie, but then it grew, and then you don't know how to deal with it. Well, you know what? There is so much power when you put it out in the open and are vulnerable enough to say, I need help. The first thing that David did as the king of a nation was confess his sins. Then it says in chapter 12, in the same chapter, in verse 20, I lost the thingy, but it says right here. So after he said that he have sinned, chapter 12, verse 20 says, then David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. So the second thing is have a shower. I'm just kidding. That joke. Okay. Then the second thing is that he went into the house of the Lord. So first he confessed his sin. He was vulnerable. He was like, you know what? I have this stuff that I'm carrying that I need help. But then after that, he went to the house of the Lord. Now, I've always thought about this verse as like the classic Christian that says, like, hey, come to church. It's great. You know what? Like, come to church. We're going to help you out and stuff like that. But sometimes that's not the case. And I don't think that's what it's happening right here. I think what actually is happening right here is that God is saying, you know what? You need to put priorities in your life. After your biggest mistake, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's a saying that says, show me your priorities and I'll show your destination. And I think in Matthew, I can't remember what chapter, but it says, like, put God's kingdom first and everything would be added. And I think it's important that we have priorities. I'm not telling you that your priority necessarily, although I would like to suggest that it's coming to church, but I would like to suggest to you even more that will be that you have a relationship with God. That you find yourself asking him, hey, what do I need to do? Everybody needs to make a decision at some point in life. Everybody makes decisions in life, right? You chose the clothes that you're wearing, and that's a simple decision. But sometimes you need to choose the career that you're going to study. You need to choose the woman or man that you're going to marry. You're going to have to make big decisions. And I wonder, who are you asking for advice? Are you asking advice to, I don't know, a stranger on the internet? Are you asking? I don't know. But what are you prioritizing? There's another saying. I'm really bad with sayings, by the way. But there's another saying in Spanish that says, el que se junta con lobos, aullar aprende. Everybody understood that, right? which means that when you gather with wolves, you learn how to howl. Is that how you say it? So your friends determine a lot of your destiny. your friendships, the friends that you have, determine a lot of your destination. So who are you gathered around? Who are your best friends? Is it people that are going to influence you into the next step that you need to take for your purpose? Or is it people that are distracting you from what God has for you? Who are your friends? And if you're young, everybody's young here, but if you're younger than most of us, you need to have this, like, you need to drill this, you have to tattoo this into your skin, into your heart, because the friends that you have will determine the kind of life that you have. It is very likely that you're going to end up like your friends. So choose wisely who your friends are. The third thing that David did, and the band can come and help me out here, sound more spiritual like always. It says that David got up, same verse, David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotion, he had a shower, he went into the house of the Lord, and then he worshipped. He worshipped, and that's what he did. So the first thing that he did is he was accountable to somebody else. He said to Nathan, you know what, this is my sin, I acknowledge it. Then after that, what did he do? He went and put priorities. He went to the house of the Lord, where there was a community, where he could be helped, where there was accountability and all that stuff. But then the third thing is that he worshiped. Now, this is the thing with mistakes. This is what usually happens when you made a mistake that has grown into something else. It labels you. Have you ever made a mistake? Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to be the guy, the Mexican guy that was going to be known as the pooped guy, you know? Like, because your mistakes usually chase you and they label you. They usually change the nature of your identity. And I think most of the times when we are struggling with a big mistake, it could be really easy for us to think that we are a mistake. Maybe it's that you're in midterms and your last exams or whatever, you failed them really good or really bad. And maybe you can be cold, or you can have the label as, you know what, I'm really stupid. Like, I'm really not smart. Like, I really, school is not for me. And sometimes your mistake can label you. Or maybe it is like that you, I don't know what mistakes it is. Like, maybe you slept with somebody, and that somebody led to somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. And now you have a reputation, and that's your label. Or maybe you've been trying to get a job for a long time, and you just don't get the job that you want. Or maybe you don't get any job. And maybe you feel like that's a mistake that you've made, or something is wrong, and that labels you, you know? Now, that's the problem with mistakes. But the great thing about worship is that worship transforms you into what you worship. What does that mean? That you are transformed into the image of that of what you worship. So everybody worships, right? So the question is, if you worship or not, the question is, what are you worshiping today? Are you worshiping something that is transforming you, is transforming your identity into something that you don't want to be? Or are you worshiping God and you are being transformed into his image, into who says that you are? And in a little bit, the band is going to play, and I think they're figuring out what they're going to play. But in a second, I would like us to stand up. Not just yet, but in a second, I would like us to stand up. And I don't know what the situation is that you're going through. What is your mistake? What is it that has labeled you for so long? But I would like us to stand up in a second. And as you lift your hands, or you stand standing, or just with your arms in your pockets, or whatever you are, but as you worship God, with your words, with your mind, I would like you to think about that you are going to be transformed into the image of God. God has not said that you are a loser, a stupid, that you're not good for school. This is the classic cliche, but it's so true, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are blessed to be a blessing, that you are to lend and not to, you are to give money and not to ask for money. You are his beloved. And I know this sounds like a classic church cliche, but it is so true, friend. It is so true that a life with Jesus, we're going to make big mistakes, because that's life. That's who we are. But when you are with him, he can use those mistakes and he can transform them into something that will help you get into the purpose that he has for you.
We are so glad you joined us at Liberty City Podcast. Please come check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.